Psalm 119. Well, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, and we're going to be finishing off this portion from 145 through 152. Now, you should be glad because there just leaves 1, 2, and 3 left. Amen? That's exciting to look at. Well, let's read together these 8 verses. Beginning in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Well, since we had a break last week, it bears for us to go over a little bit about what we've learned so far. So far in this passage, we talked about, in verse 145, David saying, hear me, O Lord. And we kind of talked about how in order for God to hear us, we need to be right with him. His ears, if you will, are going to be tuned to the righteous. And we need to live our lives in such a way. David cried out with his whole heart, hear me, I will keep thy statutes. And then in verse 146, he said, I cried unto thee, save me. And we talked about God being our salvation. And we also talked about that in this particular case, it was talking about deliverance from enemies and difficulties and the trials of life. And we can call out to God and we can ask him to save us. As Peter was walking on the water and the distractions of life, Lord, save me. And boom. There he was. And he took hold of his hand and lifted him up out of the water. We talked about in verse 147 how David cried out to God. He called with a loud voice, an earnest request of prayer. How often do we just pray and do we just talk to God? Or how often do we actually cry out to him in our time of need? And it said here that he prevented the dawning of the morning and he hoped in God's word. Then we looked at verses 148 and about meditating on the word of God, mulling it over in our minds over and over again, having it be that which we ponder or think on. And we ought to do that with the word of God. And then in verse 149, again, David said, hear my voice. And we talked about how in verse 145 he said, hear me. And in verse 149 he said, hear my voice. That's a little bit more detailed. And we want God to hear our voice as we cry out to him in our time of need. We looked at verse 150 and how these that are void of God's law are involved in mischief. And that was a fun word to study and look at, that those that draw nigh follow after mischief, and they are far from thy law. And we talked about not standing, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful, but rather delighting in the law of the Lord, not being far from it. So tonight, as we kind of wrap up this passage, these 8 verses, I'm once again glad to tell you that David goes on a positive note. I like that when he does that, it's a joy. So look at verse 151. We're going to focus on these first 3 words. Thou art near. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. In the previous verse, he says, they are far, but thou art near. You like that? Hey, they're far from thy law and they're coming after us, but God is near to us because perhaps we're near to his law. You see, we should get as close to God as we possibly can because he is near to us. You understand that God wants to be near to us. Do you know what prevents us from being near to God? Us. Not him. Not him. You see, God has this set of attributes and this set of qualities that keeps him or hinders him from being around sin. Heaven's a perfect place, right? No sin. You understand that Jesus Christ came to save sinners from their sin. To relieve them of that. You understand that God wants to be close to us. And if we're going to be close to us, or close to God, and him close to us, we've got to be close to his word. And to his commandments. And to his statutes. And to his precepts. In Numbers 16, Moses said, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord." He's talking to Korah and these Levites that were rebelling and complaining about Aaron and all these things that were happening. He said, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you?" He says, he goes on to say, to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? You see, there was an issue here, and they wanted more power and control than they were given and assigned to. But they said, Moses was saying, "Hey, is this a little thing that God chose you for a purpose? And he brought you near to himself." Listen, folks, we ought to be excited about that. That ought to have been good enough for Korah and his brethren. And it ought to be good enough. God wants to be close to you. David says, "Thou art near, O Lord." In 1 Kings 18, as it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." As Elijah came near to the altar, God was near to him. You understand, just previously in that passage of scripture, he was making fun of the prophets of Baal, right? Oh, maybe he went on a long journey. What does that mean? Far away. But as he called out to God, "God, hear me," he knew God was near and close to him. Because he was following God's word. He was acting upon God's commandments. He was close to the law of God. Therefore, God was near. We understand in Scripture, David's called a man after God's own heart. Is he not? How close is a heart to you? I hope it's close. Hope you don't have an out-of-body experience with your heart. That's not good. No, I mean, that means you're closely knit to someone, huh? If someone has your heart, or if you're talking about that type of relationship, that means you're close. That's good. We ought to be close to God. In Psalm 73, David said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. But thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God." Is it good for you to draw near to God? Oh, yes. Whom do you have in heaven but Him? Whom do you desire on this earth but Him? Do you have the sentiment that David had? In Zephaniah chapter 3, the prophet Zephaniah was telling the people of Israel some difficulties that they were going through. And he said in verse 1 through 5, he says, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city." He's talking about Jerusalem. "She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law." That sounds like the previous verse, that those that are far from the law of God, after mischief. It says, "The Lord, the just Lord, is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame." There were times throughout Israel's history where they were close to God. And there were times where they were far from God. You know what, you want to know what the constant was? God never moved. He never moved. David said, "God, you're near to me. Thou art near, O Lord." Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Don't forget to mark your place. Deuteronomy 4. I've become so thankful for this nice Bible and these three bookmarks. Helps me keep my place. Look at verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should so do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Listen to this phrase. "For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as our Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Do you count it a pleasure and a joy and an excitement to be counted as one that hath God so nigh unto you?" I think David was being a bit exclamatory as he said, "Thou art near, O Lord." He was glad to have God near to him. Are you glad to have God near to you? Can you say, as Moses said, "Surely this great nation and wise is a wise and understanding people, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" In Psalm 34, David said, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and such as be of a contrite spirit." In Psalm 69 it says, draw nigh unto my soul, redeem it, deliver me because of mine enemies. As you're turning to James chapter 4, listen to Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, and to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Boy, it sounds a lot like what David said earlier in Psalm 119. It continues, the Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Are you there in James 4? Look at verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Back in Psalm 119, David says, Thou art near, O Lord. I just want you to consider for just a few moments, and maybe throughout this next week, how near God is to you. And really, in reality, how near you are to Him. Or if you want to think of it this way, how near can God get to me because of my life and the way I'm living and the choices I'm making? Am I desirable in His sight? Does He want to be near to me? Listen, if I'm going to go, I'll use my sons as an example instead of myself. But they go out and play and get all sweaty and stuff. I don't want to be around them. I don't even want to be in the same vehicle as them. And I'm going to throw a fit if they start taking their shoes off, because they're going to kill somebody with those things. Behold, Lord, He's been dead 3 days. He stinketh. Okay. That's how my, you, well, those of you who have boys, somebody give me an amen out there, please. I know mine aren't the only ones. But you know what? I don't want to be around them when they stink. My wife loves me, but I'm sure she doesn't want to be around me if I stink. Okay? But listen, if we stink with the world and stink with sin, do you think God really wants to be around us? Don't think so. But David said, Thou art near, O Lord. Look at the rest of verse 151, if you will, back in Psalm 119. He says, And all Thy commandments are truth. Now, in this venue, in this place, amongst these people, that's you, I don't think I need to belabor the point of God's word being truth. Okay? Is that necessary? Do I need to do that? Do I need to pull out all the stops and give you all the information? I don't think so. But how about just a few highlights? In Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Bible says, These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly, in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, Moses is saying. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, Behold, the Lord God, our God, has showed us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and He liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived. Go thou near. They're like, Moses, we don't want to die, but you can die for us. That's kind of what I get out of that. We don't want to die and hear the voice of God because who can stand for it? Moses, would you go? Did y'all get that same thing I got? Okay, I think they were putting him up as that sacrificial lamb. He said, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. God's word is truth. God has given us his word. His commandments are truth. All of them. Did God give to them all that they needed, or did he leave some out? Was some of it up for debate? Was some of it up for vote on the ballot that we should we employ these laws or not? Did you get to vote yes or no? No. He very carefully told Moses that he gave them all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments that they may do them and live. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have a smorgasbord Bible. It's not a buffet. It's not buffet style where you take what you want and leave what you don't. It's all there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Is it not? Every word. Every jot. Every tittle. We have the word of God. We ought to live by it. It is truth. We ought to follow it. And live. As God has commanded. David said, thou art near, O Lord. All thy commandments are truth. In 1 John 2, it says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. That's rough. Is it not? That's a difficult statement. That's we'll put it in our common terms. That's a hard pill to swallow. Let me read that to you again. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. He says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's tough. Have we not all fallen in that category at some times in our lives? Or perhaps now? You want God to call you a liar? You know, as a kid, we used to tease, right? Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging on the telephone wire. Y'all did that, right? I wasn't the only one. Okay. You want God to call you a liar? Not me. His commandments are truth. His word is truth. Oh, but I'm glad John didn't stop. He said, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ lived truth. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We understand that Christ is the truth. The Word of God is truth. God is truth. You know how much I love the verse that says that God who cannot lie, he cannot lie. He is truth. God wants us to know truth, and he's given us truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Colossians 1, he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which it effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's truth. And we ought to hold it as such. And if we do, we just should walk in it as he walked in it. We should do it because we love him. Because Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. They're truth. David said that these that do mischief are far from the law of God. They're far from the truth. Do you want to be labeled as one that's mischievous and far from God, or one that's near and walking in truth? There are so many verses that talk about the truth of God and the truth of his word and the truth that God is. We don't have time to go over all of them. But God is truth. Remember John 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, we understand that God wants us to live in truth and walk in truth. And that comes through his word. David said, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Well, you're doing very well in flipping. So let's go back to Psalm 119 and verse 152. David ends this passage by saying this. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. You know, that's an interesting way of putting things, kind of summing up these eight verses. He says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. As I thought about this and what David was trying to pass on to us, and if you will, through the Holy Spirit of God, he's basically saying, God, you're trustworthy. You're faithful. I can count on you. Because from old and old and old and old, it's just been that way. You are who you are. You've been who you've been. You have no beginning. You have no ending. You're always the same. You're God. He says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known. This is not something new, but this is something that David has experienced over and over and over and over and over again. And perhaps that his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather and his great-great-grandfather and his great-great-great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather have known and passed on and passed on and passed on and passed on. And as we go through back this way through the Old Testament, we see it. His testimonies. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known. Oh, there it is again. Oh, there it is again with Ezra. There it is with Nehemiah. There it is with this king. There it is with that king. There it is in this judge. There it is with that judge. There it is with Joshua. There it is with Moses. There it is with these Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And oh, I see God's hand here, and I see God's hand with Adam, and I see God's hand with Enoch, and I see God's hand with Noah. He said, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. If you want, we could take David on a trip in the future and go forward. And he did it with Solomon. And he did it with these and others. And he did it through Isaiah's life and Jeremiah's life and Ezekiel's life and Daniel's life and Hosea's life and Jonah's life and into the New Testament. He's established himself. He is God. Do you know? And could you say, as the psalmist said, concerning thy testimonies, God, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. How sure are you? Like the old commercial, right? Raise your hand if you're sure. Y'all like commercials? Those jingles just stick in your head, you know? Okay. Some of you are like, what is he talking about? Amen. Okay. Psalm 33, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Now that ought to just make you just... Because David said, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever to all generations. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. We know that the word of the Lord is settled forever in heaven, don't we? We know that God's word will stand, though everything else falls apart. His testimonies are of old. They can be trusted. They are founded. They are sure. In Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord it bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's in Isaiah 40. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 23 through 25, Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Those are very similar, aren't they? Sounds like Peter knew his Bible, didn't it? But you know what? Everything around is temporal. Everything around will fade. But God and his word will not. concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. I can't think of a better positive note to end on than that. What more do you want? Hey, I cried out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I cried unto thee, save me. I prevented the dawning of the morning. My eyes prevent the night watches. Hear my voice. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. But then the confidence creeps in. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Oh, and by the way, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. And I don't know, somewhere in the fine print it just says, ha, 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 ha. Don't you get that feeling? He's got all these difficulties. And he just gets that kind of victorious laugh. Just kind of, okay, maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way. Don't you see the confidence in his God? And in the testimonies, and in the commandments, and the statutes, and the precepts, and the laws of God. He knows his enemies will be confounded. He knows they'll be taken care of. He knows the judgment of God is sure. He knows his God is faithful. Deuteronomy, Moses said, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. This will be our last passage. And as you do, don't forget what God said to Joshua. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know, God wants us to live with confidence. Confidence in him. Confidence in his word. And as David said, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Now you're there in Hebrews 6. Look at verse 13. He says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us endured or entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What more surety do you want? What more of a foundation? What more of something of old and something that is absolute than what David says concerning thy testimonies? I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Aren't you glad that we can know we're saved? That we can know we can trust God? Hasn't he proven himself enough? These things are immovable. This strong consolation, this anchor and hope that we have, the anchor of the soul in Christ Jesus. I love what David said in Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I think this is something very common. Just mic drop. We're done here. That's enough. Thou art God. I just love reading through these and searching out these things. Because more and more and more is the strength of the wonder of God's Word. It's a wonderful book. And I hope you find it more and more and more wonderful as we continue these studies. I hope that something said tonight would have sparked your interest, would have maybe even inclined you to get into the Word of God and to search out these things. Because David said, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Aren't you glad we have something to look to? We have something to search out. We have something to read and to use as the foundation of all things in our life. Because God is faithful. He can be trusted. And has been founded forever.